Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show, everyone. My guest today is Patricia Simone, and our topic, which is going to be very appropriate for Valentine's Day, is finding the love within. Before beginning today's show, I want to remind everyone about being sure to love yourself enough to take care of your body and to check out the Boomers website on synergyconnectionradio.com and see how you can reduce inflammation, detox your body, and have more energy than you've ever had before. I use these products every single day, and I feel younger as a result. Be sure to use the name Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code as you check out to get your $5 off. So thanks, Patricia, for joining me again. I know background-wise, I've mentioned in the past that you're a certified hypnotherapist. You're an intuitive counselor. You're also an energy healer like myself. And you love to help people live, as you said, a happier and more joy-filled life. So I want to make sure people know in the beginning of the show how to get hold of you before we actually start the show. So we'll kind of do it as bookends at the beginning and again at the end. So if I'm listening and I want to get hold of you, what do I need to do?
Okay, sure, Lucy. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure doing this show with you. My office is located within East West Healing Solutions, and that's on Highway 19. You can contact me at 631-942-0506. And I should say that office is located in Palm Harbor. And you can email me at patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com. Or look for me on my website, www.thejewelsofknowledge.com.
All right. And how did you ever arrive at that, the jewels of knowledge? I've never asked you before, and I think I understand, but I'd like for you to explain.
Sure. Okay. Well, I knew I wanted to open a business that was not just my name, and I was really thinking about what would be an appropriate name for the business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want it to be perfect and just right. And at that time, I was doing a lot of connecting with my spirit guides. And I was also doing work on myself. And I was finding all of this self-knowledge. And so it was just, how can I incorporate the fact that we are finding self-knowledge, and the more that we know about ourselves, the more that we can love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can accept ourselves. And so I wanted people to understand that would be what would be happening to them when they would come and work with me. But how to get that message across? And right. So I was in my backyard one afternoon, just actually I had a very clear mind, just enjoying being out in nature. One of my spirit guides is a seagull.
Oh, fun. And
yes. Well, he's one of the guides.
Like a Jonathan Livingston seagull?
So, no, like one that flies and shows you the pathway uh-huh. to clarity. Uh-huh. And so his name is Jules.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it just popped in my head, the Jewels of Knowledge. And I thought, that is great. That is what I'm going to name the company. So a combination of knowledge, self-awareness, and the spirit guide, and I thought it was perfect, very appropriate for, you know, what we learn is like a gem.
So is there a seagull on your website?
So there was on my old website, but I have recently refurbished my website, and I would love to incorporate a seagull in there, but we're mm-hmm. using a lotus flower right now for, obviously you understand the meaning of the lotus flower, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's just coming up out of the depths of darkness and still being able to bloom. And so that was very significant as well. With the transformation, which just occurred this past week, We have not gotten the seagull back on there, but
maybe
but
he could will. Either hover in the sky or he could perch on the lotus.
Yes, he can perch on the lotus. So we have to work on getting that back in. I was just glad to get the website back up and running.
Yeah, I bet you
as
were.
as quickly as possible.
I bet you were. So we're going to be talking today about learning to love the person that you are, to go within and mm-hmm. find that love of self.
Right.
All right.
Correct. That is a very good topic, mm-hmm. Particularly with the theme of the month is Valentine's Day, and we mm-hmm. often think about significant others mm-hmm. for love. But before we can find a really good match, we really need to be comfortable with who we are and with all of our imperfections and accept ourselves with all that we are.
Right. I remember many years ago hearing somebody say, all of the warts.
All of the warts or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they're all there, regardless of our own good intentions and understanding what really self-love is. Because I know in the past a lot of people have said, well, of course I love myself, with anger and defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, that's great. How do you know that you love yourself? And what does it feel like to be loved by you? Have we ever thought about that? So,
well, that's an interesting concept. So if somebody is trying to figure out what it feels like to be loved by themselves, where do they go to begin doing that, to figure that out?
Well, you know, I've done exercises with some clients, and a lot, you know, it all does boil down to self-love. So if I were to say, if you say you love your husband, mm-hmm. let's say, how do I know that you love your husband? What does that feel like? Mm-hmm. How do you express love to your husband? If I asked your husband, what does it feel like to be loved by Lucy? Mm-hmm. What would he say to me? And I'm not going to answer that question, right? That's a question that you want to say, well, my husband would say, I love him because mm-hmm. he feels what? And so many times people are stumped with that question. So let's think about that. If you want to know, like, you're putting love out into mm-hmm. the universe, mm-hmm. what does it feel to be loved by you? Then we can take that reflection of what your idea of what you're giving and now bring it back onto yourself.
You know, I'm going to play with that a little bit because sure. I think for somebody who... Let's do Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
Do you remember when he is saying, do you love me?
Yes, of course I
in
love
the song.
You.
And she says, of course I love you. And he goes, yes. you know, to give examples, more or less.
Yes.
And she said, well, I had your children. You know, I cooked
for you. I carried
your
clothes. I cleaned your house.
You know, cleaned yes. your house. And I think that for a lot of men and women, that mm-hmm. is kind of how they're saying, well, of course, you know, I do these things for you. Mm-hmm. I cook for you. I clean for you. I think for a man, mm-hmm. it's going to be, I go out and bring home a paycheck. But mm-hmm. there are women that bring home as big or bigger paychecks today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that is a little misleading in today's world.
Well, I think it's the way that people have either been raised or shown or expressed mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. because that's just the example that was given to them. Has anyone ever sat down with them and explained what is love? Is love visual?
Or what you do for somebody.
Or what you do for somebody. Or, you know, there's that book, The Five Languages of Love. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've read it
familiar.
Clearly.
Uh-huh.
Right? So everybody has different needs of what looks like what love looks like to them.
So, again, I'm going to go back and kind of look at this for a second, because if you're defining how you might love yourself using the five languages of love, mm-hmm. not necessarily for another person, but how do you express that then maybe for yourself? Mm-hmm. What is one of your languages? I know what mine are, but...
Well, one of my languages is clear communication.
Okay, so how would you clearly communicate with yourself?
So you need to really sit down with yourself and understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. For me, it's meditation.
Okay.
So understanding, you know, that we all are perfect, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. getting to understand, like, all these things have happened to make me think that I'm not perfect or that I'm not loved. But that's not really true. I am. We are all loved.
All right. So with the communication that you might give yourself, if you're very clear, because using that communication would be, I need to work on me more. And so you would have that disparity of you're perfect the way you are versus I need to work on me more.
Well, yeah, we always need to work on ourselves because we're always expanding. And when I say work, it doesn't mean healing.
Mm-hmm.
It means what can I bring to myself that can grow my knowledge of this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So what do I want to expand right now? Where do I need to... what is driving my interests at this particular time?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something for me particularly to know that, you know what, we have an idea that we want to get an education, and then we have an idea that we have to do something with the education. Well, I love learning. I don't always have to get a career that involves what I've just learned.
Right.
You know, and somebody said to me, why do you keep learning? You know, they don't mean anything unless you actually do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you know, he's right. That guy's right. What am I going to do with all this stuff now? Maybe I should stop learning. Maybe I don't know. Do we ever really know enough? But no, I then know. Later on, I figured out I just love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, just because I don't get a job with what I've learned doesn't mean it didn't add value to myself or to somebody else who might need this information at some future point.
Well, learning makes you happy.
Right. I love to learn. That's a part of me that just loves to know things. And so I acknowledge that part of myself that I don't have to use it just because someone else said so. Mm-hmm. I just have to know that that's what I love.
So again, weaving that back into the topic for today, if you were loving your learning aspect of who you are,
right,
then you would be saying, okay, that is one of the ways that I can look within and say, I love that part of me. I love the curiosity. I love the fact that I'm always out there exploring and trying to figure out, you know, how did this happen or how did that happen? And you want to learn that, and somebody else goes, so what?
Yeah, so what? Right. And then you don't let somebody else get in the way of what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're not living somebody else's idea of what you're doing. You're living your idea.
Exactly.
And so that's really the key. And so for me to communicate, you know, since you asked, well, how do I do that, is we all have self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that the way that we talk to ourselves brings our reality into our lives. So if I say to myself, I'm allowed to learn. I love learning, rather than, he's right, I should do something with it. Maybe I should stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to do there? So I have a chance to say, I embrace learning. And regardless of what this guy says, he doesn't know. What does he know? He doesn't know me. I know me.
Right.
So by knowing me and being okay with doing the things that I love, because that's part of who I am, is really accepting myself. Right? Based on my beliefs, not on other people's belief systems.
I'm also thinking that there's a lot of women, probably more so than men, that got the message that they need to do things a certain way in order to be safe, in order to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have come, you know, down from dad and or mom or grandparents or friends that were trying to protect them, trying to, you know, like guide them.
Yeah.
And they stop listening to that inner voice. And so going within can be a very scary thing for a lot of people.
Well, I will tell you from my own experience and my own journey, it does take a lot of courage to go in and look at yourself and look at why you've made, why things have happened. And once you get on the path of looking at yourself and rediscovering who you really are, it's not scary anymore. It's scary to start. But when you start the journey, then you begin to say, well, what else can I do? What else can I learn? Where have I been stagnated by others' belief systems?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you can embrace like who you are by exploring your likes, maybe you explore something and you decide you don't like it. And if you don't like it, then you're saying, well, I tried it and I explored it, not being upset that it didn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I remember many years ago, we were eating at a wonderful restaurant, and they had all of these different kinds of pâtés.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my stepdaughter was along, and she was probably 16 maybe at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd never had anything like that. So she asked me, you know, what does that taste like? And I couldn't think of a really good description for a pâté, because it depends
right.
if it's a goose or a duck or, you know, where the animal kind of came from.
Right.
But I told her it was a little bit like chicken. Well, that was a mistake, because, I mean, she loved chicken. And so she put a big bite in her mouth, and then I watched her eyes, and they got really big. And then she was having a little bit of a gag reflex. And I knew she wasn't going to get it down.
Right.
And so I just said, you know, like, put it in your napkin and we'll get you a clean napkin.
Right.
Well, she's never forgiven me for that, because
right.
she said it didn't taste anything like chicken. But I think sometimes, again, when you're exploring,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like a buffet. So
right.
you can explore different aspects of who you are.
Right.
And
right.
the creative side of a person, I think, loves to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they might experience different books that they want to maybe expose themselves
right.
to, different art, different flowers, different plants. I mean, there's all different ways that we can learn and grow.
Right.
And then you kind of jump over to the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, again, are loving yourself on a spiritual level, where would you take somebody there?
Yeah, so on the spiritual level, learning how to love themselves, is that...
Right, know? Yeah, but on the spiritual level, because we're all these different aspects.
Well, we are all of these different aspects, and so we have a point in time where we know that we are love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one way that I would take some of my clients is to go back and experience what is that feeling of love, and... How old were you? Where were you when you were feeling all of this exponential love just by being,
mm-hmm.
you know, without any other distractions that come in and take you away from that I'm not loved?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to feel love, we know, a lot of people will say to me, I don't even know what that feels like, but we know that we did at some point to understand why we don't feel loved, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back in hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
In healing, and find out
when
was the last feeling of being loved and feeling that love, and so that you can remember it and you can call upon it at any time. Just because you're not seeing it or feeling it doesn't mean it isn't there.
So for the average person that you might see,
yep,
and they would be exploring that last time that they truly felt loved.
Yes.
Unconditional
yes.
love. You know, there was no expectations whatsoever. What's the average age that they have to go back to?
Oh, it typically shows up 2 years old, 1 year old.
Really?
Yes.
So that long ago before. And then after that, it was they had to live up to certain expectations to
be
loved.
Even at that point in time, they've also experienced fear, and they also come to understand what expectations they can have in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so feeling that full unconditional love of play as a child, when they can still be lost in their own world, in their own playtime, their own imaginations and musings, where they're uninterrupted,
mm-hmm.
it's usually a single moment where they are alone. It's not with or based upon activities brought forth by others.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we would move forward, showing them that love is there, that they are capable of feeling that love, that it is within them. So if you can feel that, then when was the point in time when you stopped feeling that love? And how did you start to feel after that? And that usually starts later in childhood as well. 7 years old, when we're becoming more aware of things, right? Where our place in the world is. And so that's, a lot of people turn it off. They hide it and they bury that love within themselves, and they start to make decisions about themselves based on the actions of others and thoughts that they have about their reactions from their parents or teachers or friends or siblings. You know, each person brings their own experience into that love.
I think, you know, what I used to see in the schools, you know, because I had an office there and worked with elementary children, is, you know, disappointing not only their teacher, but disappointing themselves, disappointing their family, if they took home a grade of a certain level. So if Right. they thought of themselves as, I have to be an A student and only an A student, and they got a B or a C,
Right.
then immediately they were a failure and they feared the love would stop.
Right. I'm not good enough.
Right. Right.
Right. But because the I'm not good enough is really very low space to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we develop that feeling of I'm not good enough, then how can we love ourselves if I'm not good enough?
Right.
Right. So that starts the cycle there. And, you know, my mother must not love me because she yells. My father must not love me because I'm not getting good enough grades and I'm just not good enough. And all of a sudden, I have a whole I'm not good enough look at myself. There's no self-love there.
Right. And, you know, then that can spiral literally quite out of control. And I'm sure you see this for yourself, because if the person sets their standard for themselves as I'm not good enough, then you settle. You settle for stuff. You don't get the love of your life because this is maybe the best I can get. And then you're unhappy, you know, in that marriage.
I'm not good enough for a better relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough to be loved the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a really good point to bring up, since we're talking about that moving through life. Think about it now, you're in your 20s and you're living on a belief system that was created when you could have been 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the system that you want to use, that belief system, throughout the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
When do we upgrade that? You know, this is sort of like leveling up in life and realizing that though it may have seemed that way then, there were things behind the scenes that we weren't aware of.
Right, because we're only five.
We're only five, and we only have an intellectual level of a five-year-old.
Right.
Or a seven-year-old, but at 20, we don't realize, or 30, that we're still living on a,
well,
on
that
a belief system
of
a that was created at 5 years old with an intellect and wisdom of a five-year-old.
Well, and the sad part is they've reinforced it. Over and over again, because the eroding belief was, I'm not good enough. And so you don't reach out to go to that special college because you don't think that you can achieve success.
Right.
Or, like I said, you accept a marriage that maybe is less than what you actually deserve because of that belief system. Or a job that is not nearly the job that you might be, you know, would be capable of doing, but you don't think you are.
Exactly, because you just don't think you're good enough. Now, where does that self-love have room to grow and room to flourish in a system that's saying, I'm not good enough?
Right.
Because love comes from the purest of places, and it's uninhibited at its finest moment. So you want to love other people, but yet you're not good enough. So that's a conflict right there.
Mm-hmm.
So will you ever have that person in your life that will be on the same level as you, right? Because, and we all should, right? We all are equal.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if we're not good enough, we're not coming from a healthy place.
Right.
So to know our boundaries, you know, if we really sit down with ourselves and we think about who is the right person for me,
mm-hmm.
what will I accept and what won't I accept in a relationship? Then we're starting to acknowledge that I am worthy, right? Because I won't just take anybody. We're not just going to take anybody. It has to be someone special.
Mm-hmm.
And who is someone special? What does someone special look like to us?
Right.
And as we can start to determine what I really like in my life, and then a person comes along and they don't even have half the qualities on our list, then we have to say to ourselves, why am I even thinking about seeing this person?
Uh-huh.
If that's really what I want to invite in. Am I good enough for that person again? Because we're all good enough for everybody. Right? We just have to, if we can look at it on paper and become visual and our knowing, eventually the better we know ourselves and the better we know our boundaries, the less likely we are to let somebody in that doesn't fit what we feel is a good match for us.
Right. I mean, I know a lot of relationships, and I know you do too, where I do, you know, quietly shake my head because one or the other in the couple is kind of dictating to that couple. You know, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it, rather than having it be a mutual decision. And I think a lot of that is because you give in, you know, because you think, well, they know better.
Right.
And so you kind of sell yourself short. And I know that couples do that when they're young, but I've seen it, you know, with the 50s and the 60s and the 70s.
Right. And I think, you know, it's hard to break out of that mold. If you start out that way, essentially you're training each other on how you should be treated. And so, you know, you don't realize it, but that's just something that you slip into very naturally. And, you know, a pattern. You slip into a pattern naturally. Not so much like who's going to dictate what goes on. But you're sort of allowing people to know, like, I'm okay with it if you're going to make all the decisions, even if you're not.
Or not standing up, like, in a job situation.
Or stand, right.
Yeah, and letting somebody who maybe is a supervisor, you know, dictate how things are going to be done. And if you have some good ideas, you know, having enough belief in yourself to say, I would like to share some other options.
Right, exactly.
But you have to have that belief.
But you do have to have that belief. And if you think that I'm not good enough, then what would follow after that in a work situation would be nobody wants to hear what I have to say because I'm not good enough.
Exactly.
And so that's just another boundary that you've just set for yourself within a work space. So now let's take the two together, and you have a relationship at home that's not really working for you because you are not feeling good enough and you've settled, and now you're at work and you just boxed yourself into a corner because you don't know how to communicate, because you don't have that big inner strength or belief in your system that, yeah, I have great ideas. And yeah, I think this would be great for this company to hear.
Right.
And so that's your self-confidence. And underneath it all comes from fear or love.
Or the lack of love for yourself, which is what the topic is today. So, I mean, if you know that you are physically, because the show is about, you know, the four connections.
Absolutely.
So if you know that you physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually have sold yourself short because you don't love yourself enough.
Right.
Then that person comes to someone like yourself or me in the past, and they may have migraine headaches. They may have all kinds of health complications because it shows up in our bodies.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And they may have anxiety. They may have, you know, failed relationships. They may be doing very poorly parenting their children. I mean, there's a whole host of things that can go on. So then you would take them and say, all right, we're going to boil this down to, let's look at how you care for yourself. Do you love who you are as a person? And you would help them go within.
Right.
And begin to kind of pull all the crap that's in there out.
And, you know, this just goes to an energetic thing as well. Because when you're truly hiding who you are, you know how much energy that takes? You know, to be yourself. Like, if you've learned over the years of, you know, from childhood up to the point in time when you can't stand it anymore and you come in, how much energy it takes in the beginning when you have to hide who you are for the fear of, you know, mom or dad not approving of you in whatever way, shape, or form, you begin to hide those parts of yourself that you want to naturally share as a child. But now you think, well, that's not a good part of me because it doesn't resonate here, hiding it.
Right.
It takes a lot of practice and energy to hide part of yourself.
You know what I think of sometimes is a closet.
Yeah.
You know, so how many times do we have a closet where we don't even know what we've got in it anymore?
Right.
Because we've shoved everything to the back.
Right. And everything gets piled up.
Yep.
And Yep. And you find some really great treasures when you go through your closet. Yep. And it's not usually in the front. It's usually underneath all the garbage where you find that little jewel.
That little jewel, right, exactly.
That little jewel. And so by the time they come in, you know, their soul or their heart wants to be expressing itself in its natural form, and they're too afraid. They don't even know what that is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now all the energy that was used to hide away those fun little parts of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
is now those parts are trying to explode forth because they can't stay locked up forever.
Right.
And now you're using all of your adult physical energy to keep it all inside. You don't know what's happening to yourself. You know, your love is trying to explode and you're scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have a whole bunch of life case scenarios. I mean, it should be simple where we have a magic wand.
Right.
And you can swing it over
someone. You mean
you don't
have one?
Well, I do. It's only for the really toughies.
You keep it in your office in the corner.
It's like the last resort. We will make you do it. But, you know, it takes a little bit of time and self-discovery to go through the junk in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, do I need this? No. You know, do I want it? Do I need it? And does mm-hmm. it serve my purpose?
You know, I worked with a lot of hoarders mm-hmm. back in Green Bay in particular. And I don't know exactly why there were so many that were in that part of the world, except that it's cold. And I think that you hold on to things longer than you do words.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at any rate, it was just kind of interesting to me, the number of people I worked with that did have those hoarding characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell them that one of the ways, you know, that you would work through this is you would have three boxes. Mm-hmm. And so you'd pick a room that you were going to start decluttering, because you can't declutter all of it at the same time. It's just too overpowering.
Right.
And so I would say, okay, pick a room that you really want to work on, whether it's a kitchen, living room, dining room, wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
and put three boxes. And one box is for throwaways that you
right.
didn't have to even think about. You just knew that old newspaper you really didn't need to have anymore.
Right.
The magazine that was 10 years old or 20 years old, no, you're not going to read it anymore. And then one box was for, absolutely, I'm going to keep this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one box was I'm going to think about it. And those were the three.
Mm-hmm.
And that would begin to be the way that they would start decluttering that room.
Right.
So
right.
if you're working on a personal level on your own life,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's three pieces of paper.
Right.
You know, the old belief that you absolutely need to throw away.
Right, right.
And the one that, well, maybe I just need to do some tweaking
mm-hmm.
because it's not such a bad quality to have.
Right.
I don't necessarily want to throw it away. And then one that I love this about myself.
Right.
And so on a visual level, it can become a piece of paper that they can
right.
work with.
Right. And it is something to begin to shift your awareness, because through time and through life, we're all conditioned in a sense to think about the things that we didn't do right.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us will go to bed thinking about, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, I hope she didn't get offended by what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all the things that we did that weren't right during the day. And then we end up with insomnia, we end up with, you know, all these nighttime afflictions, we can't fall asleep, I'm up and down a million times. If you wake up, you go to the bathroom, your mind starts to go again. It's refocusing our attention on, I did a great job today. You know,
uh-huh.
I really love my job. I'm so glad I have that job. You know, focusing on the thing, maybe you don't love your job so much, but maybe you love your car. And as a result of that job, you have your car.
Uh-huh.
And I got the best car I ever wanted. And so, lucky me, I was able to, you know,
so you shifted the focus.
So you're now shifting the focus on what do you love about your life?
Mm-hmm.
Because for all the things you don't like about your life, there surely must be something that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can start to focus on those things that you like, then you can start to create a new pattern of liking you.
Mm-hmm.
Liking the things that you've built up that you do like. Appreciating you more. Loving yourself more for making good decisions to have the things that you love. And that takes as much training as it took to start the negative thought process.
Right. I'm going to go someplace else too with mm-hmm. some of this is people that don't like their body shape. Mm. Okay. And so, you know, they dwell on that possibly. But if they can, again, choose a good decision that they've made regarding that body shape. Mm-hmm. So instead of grabbing for the bag of chips, if they grabbed an apple mm-hmm. and then sort of said to themselves, I'm very proud of you for making that choice.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a new level of awareness mm-hmm. that when you realize that you're going down that road of negativity and you know, beating yourself up internally. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all self-talk. And that all comes from within us.
But it came from within, not as a child, because you didn't know those things.
Somebody
said something to you.
Absolutely. Somebody did. And then you started to take witness, the silent witness within ourselves mm-hmm. started to take notice, well, if I keep banging my head against the wall, it's going to hurt. I better stop.
Right?
So, yes, if we focus that attention on our body consciousness, mm-hmm. We can certainly... So one of the things I do with clients is, you know, they may be coming out of an illness or maybe there's a food thing going on. But, you know, think about the parts of you that actually feel good. So I'll have one of my clients... has Lyme disease in recovery, but for all that time was focused on parts of the body that didn't feel good. So the minute something didn't feel good, going to the doctor, addressing it, where it may not have been anything. Mm-hmm. You're just used to looking for something wrong, which is what we're saying about, you know, our internal talk. So I put her on an exercise every night. How do your feet feel? Like, start with your pinky toe. Actually, it makes you smile because, you know, I never thought about my pinky toe before, but it feels pretty good. Now let's move up my ankles. You know how, first of all, you know what your feet do for you every day?
A lot.
Your feet, like every day for your entire life until you can't anymore, they carry you everywhere you go. You can't actually give them a break and walk on your hands, right?
No.
We're not geared for that, so... You know, like, let's give a little love to those feet. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, feet, for carrying me along. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, your legs are feeling good, your calves, you're starting to say, like, hey, things are really good with me. My body, I have good physical health. And as you're doing that, you're not drawing attention to, well, are my toes too big? No, you're checking in to see how they feel.
Mm-hmm. How they're functioning.
And how they're functioning, how they're feeling. Are they, you know, are they doing what they're supposed to? By the time you get up to your eyes, you know, you have really got a lot of appreciation going on in about 5 minutes worth of time. Mm-hmm. And that in itself makes you mind-body awareness, mm-hmm. right? Really making a strong connection to, I do feel really good right now. And that starts to make you feel really good. And that leads to that love feeling.
There was, I don't know how many people listening watch Grey's Anatomy, but it's a show mm-hmm. that I've always enjoyed. And I was watching it the other day, and there was a man that was, you know, one of the characters who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he identified himself as, you know, my name is Bill, and I have terminal cancer. I have 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. So all of his cells... were hearing that message.
Yes, yes.
Well, he decided he was done with chemotherapy. He was done with it all. And he was going to live out those last 6 months mm-hmm. doing things that made him happy. So he started talking about Costa Rica, and he started talking about places he wanted to go, things he wanted to do. His wife was kind of like, oh my God, you know, I mm-hmm. want to keep you around a few more months. But he was saying, I need to do what makes me happy.
Sort of the bucket list, right?
It is. It is. The interesting thing is his tumor shrunk in size.
Right.
And I've heard this before with other mm-hmm. people. And then it was now operable and he would be cancer free.
Right.
Because all of his immune system that had been listening to, you don't have to fight anymore, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm going to give you a vacation. We're going to go do fun things.
Right.
Now they, you know, he wasn't focused on I'm dying. Mm-hmm. He was focused on I'm living.
I understand this happened in real life to one of my daughter's professors.
Mm-hmm.
And she was given the same sentence, and she sold everything, quit her job, and traveled, I don't know, for a year, and never went to the doctor in between that. She decided, well, this is it. I'm going to go do everything I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came back because she wasn't getting any sicker. And she
and
was
running out of money.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, like, it's like, who cares? I don't need to leave any money behind. I'm going to use it for everything. And just went on and lived the life and then came back to work because, you know, she needed the money. She went to the doctor. Everything was gone.
Was gone, right.
So, you know, it's an energetic thing as well. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, your body will resonate on the thoughts and the feelings that you give it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, you know, with the work that I do is, you know, so if you're burying the love, where did it go? And I had somebody in recently that lost their self, was looking for their self-confidence. And it's a, you know, a person in their mid to late 30s looking for the self-confidence. Like, I need self-confidence.
Did they ever have it?
Well, that's where we started.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did. At 7 years old, they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And at 7 years old, they lost it. But where did the body put it? So with the this is the mind-body connection. The mind said, oh, the conscious mind said, I better not let that out anymore because it only gets me into trouble, let's say. So I better bury it. His words, bury it. They could hide it. Any words, whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you bury it? And, well, to get back to the first part of it, where did he feel his self-confidence in the first place was in his solar plexus.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, as a healer, of course you'd feel it there. Now, he doesn't know about energy work. So it's like, oh, how great that he was able to recognize that self-confidence right in his solar plex. So we buried it and we traveled down using his mind's eye. Where do you think you put it?
I would guess maybe his foot.
No, we put it in his sacral chakra.
Oh, okay.
His spleen chakra, which is, you know, our childhood issues.
Right.
So, and then he did some emotional eating on top of it to keep it, you know,
make sure that it stayed down.
Yeah, so anytime that self-confidence started to well up, he buried it with food. But now it's a subconscious thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just doing eating emotionally for, you know, from a pattern that you created at 7 years old and you're in your 30s. And it does sound silly when you look at it that way, that
I will bet if he buried it at seven, that desserts were the way that he kept himself happy.
Well, we didn't explore food. He wasn't in for food.
Oh, okay.
However, that could come up in the future because
uh-huh.
he did make a connection. However, we decided together, his seven-year-old self, his mature adult self, and I asked, do you want to, you know, bring that self-confidence back up to where does it, you know, put it back where it belongs later in the session. So we did bring the self-confidence back up energetically. And where do you think that went? Right back into his solar plex.
Mm-hmm.
Not by my guidance, but clearly he is not aware of the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
And he just tapped right back up here to his solar plexus and was able to feel confident, to feel taller, to feel proud, and all those other things that you would feel when your self-confidence comes back.
So was he overweight or not?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So he'd managed to handle that even though
he wasn't
he had turned to food.
Yeah, he, you know, said, well, that must, after the session was over, he said, that makes sense. That's probably why I emotionally eat. So, you know, he was able to make the connection, to connect
uh-huh.
the dots and uh-huh. say, oh, that really makes sense to me. And, oh, feelings. So he came back a week later and he said, I really had a great week.
Good.
So that was awesome, you know, great feedback for him.
Uh-huh.
But we don't realize, like, what we do physically to ourselves, like, whatever we are telling ourselves, our subconscious mind will run with it because, oh, she wants to be protected. Oh, she needs this. Oh, you know, well, whatever she says, I'm trained to do. It's like, it's obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely obedient. But it doesn't realize, like, we don't need that we don't need to do that anymore, so let's stop. Like, nobody says that to themselves until they know they can.
Right.
And
right.
Then things
they
are
have
different.
Permission to do it.
Right.
Differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, like, they don't see clearly, if you mm-hmm. will.
Right.
And, you know, as a result of not actually being able to maybe look out there and see a clear picture of what really is happening, I found that a great many of my own clients in the past had vision problems. They wore glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute they began to understand things, their vision began to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, I mean, on that cellular level, we can heal ourselves of so many things by understanding where the emotional part is attacking us. And then once we get past that, we can begin to heal our bodies.
Well, even think about this, too, to agree with what you've been saying, healing our bodies. Clients who cannot hear, they use hearing aids,
mm-hmm.
right? We have chakras in our ears, and if we learn to tune everybody out, we have mm-hmm. closed our chakras, our hearing, so mm-hmm. it's our inner hearing. We don't want to hear things, so that's another place where we can invite in healing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if you knew that, but... You know, we can totally, our body will do whatever we ask it to do. We
whatever.
Just have to ask it.
Right.
And give it very clear, direct instructions.
I was going to say, that probably is one of the harder things to do, is to make sure that the directions are very clear.
Right.
Because our body hears what we say.
Right.
On many different levels. And mm-hmm. if we haven't been very clear about it, it's kind of going like, well, okay, I think this is what you want.
Right. It depends, you know, on your intellectual level. Mm-hmm. And it will just continue to do. And again, like going back to the ears, all we need to do is understand why we decided to stop hearing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can shift that. Mm-hmm. So even if something has been done to protect our hearts from loving others, ourselves, it can also be uncovered.
How about the person that maybe comes in to see you that is a parent and they are having issues that more or less were given to them by their parents, and now they're doing the same thing to their children? Do they get an aha moment, I hope, with you and go, oh my goodness, I'm doing the same thing and now I know how to fix that?
Right. Yes, and a lot of times things from the childhood are triggered when we have our own children.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us don't want to do the same things that our parents did.
And yet we do.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say a story from, you know, my own example of parenting. But, you know, because we always want to promote love within our children, we always want them to have everything
mm-hmm.
that we feel we should have had.
Right.
Right, but they're not living our experience either.
Right,
so,
and we have to be careful that we don't take their experiences
right.
away from them.
Exactly. So yeah, there are a lot of people out that realize what they're doing and then are very open. When people come to me, they're looking for help, and they're open to any kind of help that's available now.
Mm-hmm.
So when the help comes, they're very willing to accept the changes from within themselves and adjust to something that would be more healthy for their children. You know, they'll come in and say that, you know, recently I had a woman contact me through a lead source that I use, an online source, and she wanted to do hypnosis on her 10-year-old because the 10-year-old had a phone addiction. I will not address that. That is not a problem for the child.
It's a problem for the parent.
It's a parenting thing.
Yes, it
is. So, you know, that's something, you know, people don't, well, I don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
It would be easier if you went to a hypnotist and had them hypnotize you.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it would be easier for the parent to come in, but the parent doesn't want to come in and have to, you know, set down boundaries for their child. They'd rather somebody else do it.
And that's the same parent who would rather... You know, they know they need to get healthy on multiple mm-hmm. levels, but they don't want to do the work either.
Absolutely. So I responded back, you know, if somebody's looking for help on that type of level. That is really parenting 101.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're afraid to do that, I don't think it would be a good fit for me to work with somebody who's not quite ready to take responsibility for parenting.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I think I might, in that sense, be a little judgmental. I wouldn't be judgmental, but I would want to guide that person towards their own behaviors rather than the child's 10-year-old behavior.
Right.
And that's a big thing right now, too, the addiction to the phones for children.
So, I don't know whether you've heard this or not, but I share with parents that do have kids, and I share with, teenagers. Some friends, we had gone across from Florida out to Denver, Colorado a few years ago. And I was totally floored because we went to such cool places in Memphis, Tennessee, and, we really had fun going across. But every time we ate any place other than in the RV,
mm-hmm.
people were looking at their cell phones. They weren't looking at each other.
Oh, I know.
They were looking down at their phones, whether it was a family or whether it was a couple. They were,
Yes,
it's... And they get a dowager hump mm-hmm. at an early age because your spine, when you're young and you're leaning over, you're curving it. And it's...
I remember hearing that. You may have mentioned that to me in the past. And it is, it's crucial that people pay attention to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at the same time, those same people don't know how to communicate.
Right.
And they don't know why they don't have love in their lives.
Right.
And they
because
don't know.
Because it's all to a machine.
Right. And if you're, exactly. If you're just talking to your loved ones through a cell phone
mm-hmm.
and or to other people while your loved one's around, you're really robbing yourselves and your loved ones of really good connections.
Right. And it's all connecting with the eyes.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're going to get people that have these blank stares because they don't know how to communicate with their eyes anymore.
Right.
And they only know how to do it with their thumbs.
Right. It's, I know. It is. That's probably a good topic for another time. A communication,
mm-hmm.
Because that does go to the throat chakra.
It does.
So if you're, not able to express yourself when you need to, why is that blocked up? If you we have new things that we're going to be looking at
mm-hmm.
I never got to even speak because I was always texting,
mm-hmm.
So that's going to be an interesting thing to see come up in the next generation, I would say.
Well, what frightens me a little bit, it's kind of like reading. You and I are both big readers.
Yes.
We love books. How many kids today are actually reading books? Or is
right.
everything being done, where you're not holding a book, you're maybe, you're using your phone, you're using maybe a laptop,
mm-hmm.
but, you're not holding a book anymore in your hands
right.
to actually read.
Yes.
And the number of people that I know, Dolly Parton has, made this huge commitment. She's already donated, I believe it's something like 100 million books now
mm-hmm.
through her Imagination Library.
Right.
Because she wants children to actually hold a book.
Right.
That's when you can bond with a parent or a grandparent.
Right.
Is read with them.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them the value of words. Teach them, that closeness that
right.
they can get with characters that are in stories. And we've lost the ability to spell at this point. We no
yeah.
longer know how to do cursive writing. And I'm afraid books, in some ways, are kind of on their way out.
Yeah, I do agree in a sense that books are, physical books are disappearing. But, people are leaving it too much up to their kids to even think about reading.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my best memories from my parents, especially my father, was when we were children, he would sit, and this is about creating memories and love,
mm-hmm.
right?
It is.
He would sit on my bed at night, and my sister and I shared a room, and he would break out books like Moby Dick,
mm-hmm.
and he would inflect emotion and characterization into each voice.
And that's why you love books?
That's why I love books, and he would take me to the library,
mm-hmm.
and I remember walking out with a stack of books up to my chin in the librarian saying, are you going to read all those by next week? And I said, of course I am.
You probably did.
And I probably did, you know, because I loved it. And that was a special bonding moment.
It was.
For, and you don't get that from a cell phone.
No, you don't.
You don't get that from, you know, your Nook or your Kindle. You can cuddle up on the couch if you want. But the whole experience of going to a special place, anticipation, that all goes away when we...
And I think that was time spent. You know, going back to the five languages
yes,
of love.
It was.
Your dad was showing you guys love.
Right.
Because he spent that time with you. And it wasn't just a quick, give me a kiss goodnight.
Yeah.
And
right.
lights out.
Right.
You know, it was quality time. And that is
right.
one of those languages of love. And if you give that same love to yourself, because
right.
you're taking the time to read a book
yes.
today, and that's saying, I love you, Patricia.
Right.
Patricia's talking to Patricia, saying,
exactly.
I'm giving you time.
Letting you. And mm-hmm. that is very true, because we may take activities for granted,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, if we do it with mindful awareness that I'm going to read tonight, because I love to read, and I love to do things that I love,
mm-hmm.
and that's a gift to me.
To you.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
doing it because actually I love myself.
Right. When I was a little girl, we had a porch, a big porch,
mm-hmm.
That was screened in. And in the spring and summer and fall, I would take books out to the porch to read because there was this nice breeze that
mm-hmm.
always came through. And I remember so clearly, you probably read Heidi, right?
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay, it was one of my favorite books. But I was Heidi. I mean, I think all little girls become
yeah,
the character.
Yeah, because I remember Heidi. I was on that
mountain.
That mountain. I had my goat sword.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And, you know, I could yodel with the best of them.
Right, right.
And it is like it takes you to, you know, it also gives your mind a break.
Yes.
You know, you go now as an adult, we read with, you know, oh, I've been meaning to. We don't give our brain a break.
Mm-hmm. Or we read for business.
And how great is it when you can escape into a book
mm-hmm.
and just allow your mind to take a break from the day-to-day activities, good, bad, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to give your mind a little bit of something fun to do.
Yeah, it's a fantasy, you know, so you can become that character. And it's pretty unlikely that you're going to want to be a character in a business book.
Well, that's true.
but, you know, I mean, autobiographies are fine. You know, if somebody's written a book about their life. Or,
mm-hmm.
But I think the fantasy books, just
they
give you that little edge on creativity.
Yes, absolutely. It does open your mind up, and it does help in expanding
mm-hmm.
Some parts of yourself that you may not have touched before.
So, to kind of wrap up our show today, we're looking at finding that love within. And so basically you're saying to take time with yourself, get to
yes.
know yourself.
Right.
You know, what are your likes and dislikes?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe discard those old messages that are putting yourself down.
Yes.
Or at least
mm-hmm.
looking at them and seeing if there was really any truth to that, or did
mm-hmm.
you just buy what somebody was saying and make
right.
it your truth?
Right, yes.
And then, you know, learning to, I go back to those boxes. You know, the
mm-hmm.
things that you love about yourself, focus. You know, the things that maybe need a little tweaking, go ahead and tweak them if they need to be.
Right.
And get rid of the stuff that's holding you back and holding you down.
Right. Yeah, you'll be doing yourself a favor, and your family and loved ones will notice the difference within you as well. That love really has to start from yourself first,
mm-hmm.
and then you can spread it and expand it out
mm-hmm.
more completely.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, remind everybody how to find you again.
Yes, thanks for having me on the show again today, Lucy. It was so much fun, as always. Clients can find me by first using my cell phone, 631-942-0506. Or by email, patricia@thejewelsofknowledge.com. You can check out my website, www.thejewelsofknowledge.com. And I am located here in Palm Harbor at East West Healing Solutions. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I know you'll be back in a couple of months, and we'll explore another topic of maybe how people can help themselves through hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Anyone who did not get to listen to the show live today that you are aware of that probably would benefit from understanding how to find their love within themselves, please have them go to synergyconnectionradio.com. And the shows are archived there. So Patricia's show will be the first one at the very top of the page if you go to show notes, and you'll find the recording there as well. All of them stay on my website, so you can go back and find Patricia and others at any time that is convenient for you. And again, take a look at the Boomer website, sign up for their health newsletter, and learn how to take care of that body that is going to get you from birth till whatever age. We trade our cars in pretty regularly. We cannot trade our bodies in. So you want to take care of it to the best of your ability. And make this 2020 your very best year. Thanks for joining us, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.